You know, we live in a hard world today. We live in a world that is complex sometimes. Yeah. Trouble, we live in a world with a troubled economy, and a lot of times that leads to a lot of extra stress. We live in a world that has confused values, a world that has mixed messages, even coming from a lot of churches and leaders, a world that can be complex and confusing, and a world that can be hard to make decisions in. You know, a lot of you don't know my background. I'll tell you where I'm at, and that has something to do with the message. You know, near the time leaving Rehoboth, the Lord called me into full-time ministry with an organization called Atlanta Youth Project. And it's an organization that primarily deals with inner city area, the tough neighborhoods in Atlanta. Well, they were venturing out to other neighborhoods and was interested in starting a ministry with a partnership with Walton Communities. And these were apartments that were owned by Christians, and they wanted to do more for the neighborhood, do more for the people that were renting the apartments from them. So they teamed up with Atlanta Youth Project, and they had buildings that were exclusively built for the people in that apartment complex, for the children, believe it or not, with rooms in them, clean, nice room, everything furnished, VCRs and DVDs, playrooms, toys, games, library from Focus on the Family, everything you wanted, a kitchen, everything built and nice. And so the guy over at Atlanta Youth Project said, "I think I got the guy for you." And that guy was me. And boy, was I glad that that was me, because I was struggling. And some of you know I was struggling at that time. So, you know, it was time for God to move me. So he moved me from the Stone Mountain area to the Austell area. And that was the time that Pastor Byer was leaving Rehoboth during that time. So it was a troubling time for everybody at that time. Time of change for everybody. And I missed Rehoboth, and I missed those times, but that was those times. So as the Lord called me to that area, you know, I was reading books on leadership and stuff, and I didn't know that the Lord had me reading books on leadership by Blackbeard, because I had to put them immediately into practice. So he's put me here. This is new to Atlanta Youth Project. They did other stuff, but the partnership with Walton Community was new. It was virgin territory, so a lot of stuff went made out. We had to come in here, and I was the director over what they called it, Venture Centers. It was free after-school program for the people that lived in that neighborhood, in that community. And I had to run mine, and when they had a new one, I had to supervise the person over the new one. So it gave me a lot of responsibility all at once, so firing and hiring people, dealing with mad parents, mad mothers, you know, and people that didn't understand to think their kid don't do nothing wrong, you know, and just dealing with all kind of new stuff was just dumped upon me. You know, hiring and firing friends. You know, just a whole lot of stuff put on me. I'm saying, like, man. And sometimes I just had found myself and my family, you know, was there and just dealing with family stuff too. I found myself in a lot of cases having to make a lot of hard decisions. And I know in a troubled economy, in times like this, you'll find yourself having to make hard decisions. Well, what do you do when you have those complex decisions that come up, that challenge you, and they look murky, you don't know what to do, you know what I mean? They look funny, they all upon you, and you're hearing different voices. You want to make sure that you do God's will, you know, and you go looking at Christian books, and they have 50 ways to know God's will. What, you know, you ain't got time for all that. I need to know something quicker, you know. What can be a guiding principle? You know, the Lord showed me a place upon my heart, a guiding principle, and I'd like to share it with you today that helped me to clear out different things, to just make things clearer when it came to making decisions. So I'd like to share that principle with you today from my life. Could you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. And there's all kind of principles we could use, but there was this one guiding principle that every time I came to a hard decision, it just helped clear things up for me. And I pray to God today that, you know, this will help you in whatever kind of situation that you're in. I believe that it will. Now, you might already be familiar with this principle. And to definitely a certain degree I was too. But you know, sometimes God can share with you something on a revelation level. Not just in your head, and maybe you know it a little bit, but God kind of showed you in a way that it's on a whole nother level. Not just your Sunday school level, clap hands, you know, you're on a whole nother level now. And so that's what he did to me with this. It reads, I'm reading from New American Standard, it says, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, it says, the integrity of the upright will guide them. Let me read that again. That's simple. Man, I learned that in Sunday school. Yeah. But do you apply it, though? Listen again. It says, the integrity of the upright will, not maybe, but will guide them. We need guidance. I needed guidance. I had all kinds of decisions that was coming upon me. I wish I had a mentor that I could just call up sometime, but I didn't have one. But God was showing me, I'm going to show you something, son. Right. This is what you do in complex situations. Let your integrity guide you. Let it guide you. Now, what does it mean when it said integrity in the Bible? And you look up that word in the Hebrew, it means blameless. The same word is used also in Job 1:1, when it talks about Job being an upright man, a blameless man. Not that he was perfect, but he was a good example. He was a blameless man. It's the same Hebrew word for Job. And we know that, you know, God, how God thought about Job. Yeah. This is a man that I don't care if stuff go wrong, he's still not going to curse God. Yeah. Ask the devil to come in and try him. All right. This is the same word used for that man. God said, let this guide you. Let this guide you. And what I want to do today is show you from the Bible, or at least show you from my life as I applied this to my life, eight benefits. Just eight benefits. There could be a lot more that I learned from this. It could be a lot more, but just eight that I learned from my life and as I applied this. And the first benefit is this. When you use integrity, you can, one benefit about it, you can use it anywhere. When you use integrity, it's good for anywhere. You know what I mean? What's the name of that card that they talk about you can use anywhere? Travel American Express. You take American Express out, you could be in China and stick that thing up. Okay, you come on in. Come on in. Come on. You come on in. You know, take it to Africa. Come on in. You could. The first benefit about using integrity, when you let that guide you, you can use that in any situation, any and all situations, even in the business world. Because a lot of times, you know, Christians, I work full-time in ministry now. I find out some Christians don't use Christian principles. Even when I've seen Christians do business, they put the Christian stuff aside. Now, we got to really do this thing now, and you know. You got to really, really. No. But integrity, you can use that card everywhere. All right. Even when you do business, quote, Christian and unchristian business. When you do business, period, you can use it. Now, for example, in Leviticus chapter 19, we're not going to turn there later on. You can just see this for us, the business part. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 35 through 36. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 13 through 16. Amos chapter 8 through 5. Now, in this context, the verses before that is actually talking about business. If you look in verse 1, it says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So even in that context, right before the verses about integrity, it talks about business and how God don't like bad business practices, period. You know, back in the day, selling, what they would do, they would use weights. To increase their profits, many merchants used the sets of stone weights when weighing merchandise. Lighter stones were placed on the scales when selling so that a lesser quantity was sold for the stated price. They used the light stones then. And heavier stones were used when buying so that more was obtained for the same price. Trying to be trickery for your advantage. with the absence of coins at that time, you know, that's what they did. Scales were used most of the time. So God was saying, even in your business, you know, use integrity. God hates it when you don't use integrity. I have a friend right now, it's a man, he put a thing on his thing, Christian business. You know, in the housing market, you know, buying and flipping housing and stuff. My friend got in there. That man tricked him. He was known for tricking people. He was known for putting his Christian thing out there, but when the business deal went down, he didn't use integrity. He used Christian name to lure other Christian people in to set them up. Then he would cheat them. But not just in business, but in everything. You take that card everywhere. In relationships, at home, with your kids. Do you use integrity with your kids? Daddies, is Father's Day coming up soon. When you mess up, and you do sometimes, you want your kid to say, I'm sorry and man up, but when you mess up, is there a sinful silence? You didn't put the card up. No, you mess up, do you use integrity? Daddy mess up. Your kid might be short, get down there with him. Daddy mess up. You know what? I was kind of too hard on you at that time. You use that card anywhere. Do your wife use the card? Come on now, I'm not talking about the card. Yeah, man, I'm talking about the integrity card, not the, you know. Yeah. Did you trick your husband into buying something? Come on now. Did you set him up for buying, you know, come on, I ain't going to be, I'm going to leave that alone, all right. Whatever. Young folks at school, integrity. How are your grades today? What happened in school today? Nothing. You know, don't want to sit there. You know you lying. Well, I didn't lie. You used your seat. You didn't, you know, because this is how they slide on you. They think that they didn't lie because they didn't say it, the sentence. All right. I did not do my homework in that class. You know when you talk to your parents that your silence would indicate that you were using the seat. We'll have the class. Where's your integrity? Find out later on that, man, you could have made an A in that. You miss all this. I would ask you every day. You know what I talk about? They put up their integrity card. They were not letting integrity guide them. It can be used anywhere. You can think about it. Let it guide you through life. You know, Truett Cathy, the guy that I worked for, Walton Communities, the apartment part, Truett Cathy is their mentor. They learn a lot of things from Truett Cathy, or Cathy Truett, yeah, and about their business. Now, the guy from Walton, they, you know, he'd been to school and college and everything. He has a big business. He's a millionaire, but Truett is a billionaire. But, he was scratching the head. He was talking to Truett, you know. Truett Cathy didn't even graduate from school. I'm not talking about college, but little school. But he works with billions of dollars, billions. And he even have a book out now saying, Truett, how did you do it? And this guy that I work with was scratching his head, cause, you know, he's a good friend with Truett, and he asked him, he just said, I treat people right, in so many words. All right. If you read Truett's books, or any of his books, the bottom line is you'll see that he's a man that's guided by integrity. So that's why he can be off on Sunday. All right. Yeah. You know, crystals open all the time. Come on in. But see, they're not running by the same principle. They got to be open 24/7. He go to Chick-fil-A, go to sleep on Sundays, you know, for a business-wise. But because they're led and guided by integrity, they don't have to worry about keeping the doors on 24/7. It's run by God's principle. People in the world stand out. How do you do it, Truett? How you do? You don't know calculus. You haven't taken all that fancy math to count all them billions of dollars. How do you do it? Integrity. Yeah. He's got it by it. Benefit number two. If you are guided, if you allow yourself to be guided by integrity, you don't have to worry about finding God's will for your life. You're right in the center of it. All right. Well, brother, I don't see everything, how everything going to work out. You can't take me down. I've been honest, and I still don't see what, you know, you don't have to see all the details now. But you can trust the fact that you're in God's will because you're living by integrity. Integrity is God's will. So just because you don't know the details, a lot of times we think that we're not in God's will because I don't know all the details yet, like a crystal ball. Tell me exactly, God, where I'm going to be standing tomorrow. This, you know, you got to know it like that. But you can rest assured that you're in God's will because you're guided by integrity. It's in the Bible. So if you allow your lifestyle to be guided by it, you don't have to know all the details being worked out because you have a good guide. It's a biblical guide. You know, like when you're driving a car with your daddy. Oh, my girls get in the car. My boys get in the car. They especially the girl. They just like to ride. They get in that seat. Just bug me up. I'm just going for the ride. They don't care where I'm going. They just trusting the driver. They just trusting the driver. Because they've been guided by me. When you're guided by integrity, I don't care where God's going. I just want to know, is daddy driving? And daddy is driving when you're guided by integrity. That's all. The Bible says it will guide you. And when I looked that up, that word in the commentary, we're talking about it guides you like a shepherd. It's like a shepherd guiding you. And when a shepherd guides his sheep, the sheep don't have to worry about anything. It's that kind of guide. Benefit number two, you don't have to worry about losing or looking over your shoulders all the time. That's another benefit. Man, that's a good benefit. It takes off stress. Yeah. You don't have to worry about going, to the spa. I know, you can still go, but, you know, some people got to go to the spa and get the stress rubbed out of them. You still go, but what'll help you out is if you're making sure that you're walking and making decisions by your integrity, you don't have to look over your shoulder and be stressful. That's right. Because you're not crooked. You could sleep at night. Because it is your guide. You know, my girl go to sleep in the car because integrity guide. Ain't looking over their shoulders. It just guiding me. You don't have to look over your shoulders. I had a guy at I graduated from Carver Bible College a long time ago in the early 80s. Some of you weren't even born. For the kids, and I remember this guy, looked like he had everything going for him for as the upcoming new preacher. They just did things for him that the administration just did things for him, even though he was a undergraduate like me, a freshman like me at the time, that they wouldn't do for nobody else. You know, they don't even let you preach till you be a senior as you're leaving college. They let this guy preach ahead of time. You know, I was a little jealous. To be honest with you now. I'm like, man, they let that guy do everything. You know, he was just getting this and that. And he had labeled himself, not the Holy Spirit, he labeled himself as the next big, evangelist coming out. But there was one thing that was lacking. He wasn't guided by integrity. He had to look over his shoulders all the time. He had these beady eyes always looking at you. Well, see, he looked at you that way because it was darkness in him. You know how people are crooked? They always look at you crooked because they know they crooked. So everybody crooked in their eyes. And always looking over his shoulder. You don't have to worry about that. He had that look. He had that persona, And what happened was he had two girlfriends. He had one girlfriend that was going to Bible college already. So this is what he did. Not being guided by integrity, if he didn't want to go with that girl anymore, he should have told one girl, okay, I quit you, I'm going to go with this other girl. He wanted to be a player right. In Bible college. Okay, you at the wrong college. Yeah. All right. So he said, okay, he knew this other girl coming up that he liked, the new girlfriend was coming up from Louisiana, he liked her. So he told the other girl, he talked her into going into another Bible college. You need to go to another Bible college. I don't know how he did it. He was a good talker. He did it, though. And she left. Then he brought the new girl in. I remember him telling me, man, I just love this girl. I just love that girl to pieces. But the new girl, eventually, to make a long story short, she found out she was getting played. And she told on him. Everything came crashing down. As we'll see later on if you're not a guy of integrity, sooner or later, your stuff will get found out. Everything can't crash down on a brother because he was not guided by integrity. He had to always look over his shoulders because he was cheating. You know, time to do it, time you hear something, somebody not integrity jump because they're wrong. But when you got that guide of integrity, guiding you, you can relax, you can chill. You can chill. So, you don't, third benefit, you don't have to worry. You don't have to look over your shoulders. You really don't have to worry. That's the bottom line. Fourth benefit, you don't have to rely on people's opinion because you'll let integrity guide you. You don't have to look for the opinion poll. This is what a lot of politicians could use. Where is the opinion poll blowing? Then, okay, let me go, that's not leadership. Okay. And then, okay, now I'm gonna know what to do. No. You let integrity guide you. Abraham Lincoln and other great leaders, they were known for letting integrity guide them. Not the opinions of people. You know, people will drive you crazy anyway. You can't please all the people all the time anyway. You might as well walk by integrity because, you know, the same people that you're trying to chase up behind a turn on you. When I was in the school system right up the street, Stormont Elementary, I remember teachers was telling this principal to do such a thing and such a thing to help her out. And she did what they told her to do. Some of those same teachers abandoned her later on. So you might as well be guided by integrity, not by the opinions of people. By that one thing. One thing, let that one thing guide you. So you won't be guided by people. The other benefit is you won't have to worry about, you know, complex and things overcoming you. And you won't get in, and when you get in complex situations, being guided by integrity will make everything clear. When you get in complex situations, let me give you an example from the Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Verse 30. Let's give a good biblical example. And this is classic. Verse 9. And we got kids here, so I'm going to watch our talk. Here was a young lady that wanted to be girlfriends and boyfriends with somebody she wasn't supposed to be girlfriend and boyfriend with while her husband was gone. That sound good? Okay, that sound clean. Okay, duh. So you can't be girlfriend and boyfriend with somebody if you married. So she had set everything up. And this is a hot situation to be in. This could be complex. This could be your boss. You know, I remember working for a company and I remember, you know, great man in Atlanta, his son, they were known for messing with women. It looked like they were getting away with it till after I left that company a long time ago. I saw both of them in the newspaper. I'm not going to say who it is, but I could because they already in the newspaper. I'm not going to say though. But to make my point, they were in the newspaper. It happened. So these are situations that are real that happen like that. You're in a situation where, you know, maybe the police pull you over. And people trying to tell you, if you don't lie, then you're going to go to prison. You're going to be in more trouble if you don't lie. And you might say to yourself, that integrity stuff got to go there. I don't want to go to prison. No. And so you'll be in a complex situation like that, that where it looked like if you're telling the truth, it's going to doom you. But you still have to allow integrity to be your guide. Because you don't know what God is going to do. You let integrity do the driving and be your guide. You let God take care of the rest of the situation. Now, here's a man, you know, this was a hot situation. He had done everything right. And, you know, this lady claimed that Joseph had attacked her. But look at the clear guidance of integrity in his life through this statement. It says, there is no one greater in this house than I. And he, that means the husband that left him in charge, because the husband trusted that this was a man of integrity. And he has withheld nothing from me except you. Because you are his wife, how then could I do this great evil and sin against God? You know, some people say like, well, let me see, what can I do? Let me see now. Let me see now. If you start making a decision without integrity first, things get more complex. A lot of times the devil will tempt you to make a decision not based on integrity first, then stuff start getting more complicated. If Joseph was not a man of integrity, he would say, now, let me see now. I know the husband is going to believe her over me because I'm a stranger. Of course he's going to believe his wife now. What can I do? What can I do? Okay, I'll be your little play toy for a little while, and then I'll try to work. No. He didn't do that. See, people start getting confused, you know. You hear about cases where, you know, women have succumbed to that because the man has power and he's a pillar of society. I'm just a maid. They ain't going to believe it anyway, so then they give in. Then later on they find out they got evidence that she did do wrong on those occasions, and then it messed up later on because they got evidence that she did do it because they can't find out her motive. So Joseph just made it clear. He said, how can I do this great thing before God? He was being guided by integrity. Now you say, wait a minute, as we read on, he went to jail. He was in prison. Wait a minute now, this stuff don't work. See there, I told you, Tony, he went to jail. Da-da, ding, 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 ding. See that stuff don't work? Hold on for a minute. Let me tell you something. It's the difference. It's one thing to suffer for the Lord. You don't understand Christianity. When you suffer for doing right, that's a good thing. Now, maybe the world don't understand it. If you don't understand as a Christian, then you thinking corner at that time. It's one thing to go to jail because you suffered for godliness. Apostle Paul didn't mind going to jail. He said, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. He went to jail because he said, I count the things, the troubles that I'm going through now. He was guided by integrity. I count them as nothing because he saw the value of walking with the God. It didn't compare with what he was going to get, the rewards he was going to get in heaven. There was no comparison. No comparison at all. So he didn't mind at all. So when you see this the wrong way, then you don't understand. You don't see it in the revelation way that God intended you to see it. Joseph did not lose by going to prison. It was an honor to suffer for Christ. It always is. Don't get it twisted. Now, if you go to prison because something you did that was stupid, and something you did because you were dishonest, then you don't have the grace to go through that situation. See, you see, God can use you through prison. John Bunyan, a great Christian man, all he had to do back in the day, he wanted to put the Bible in modern-day English terms. The Catholic Church put him in jail. All he had to do was lie, recant, and say, you know what, I really don't believe God. In public, then behind the scenes, say, you know God how it is. You know, I really, no, that's not walking by integrity. They put him in jail, wrote one of the greatest Christian books outside of the Bible, Pilgrim's Progress, made into movies now and everything that was ever written. So it was a blessing to be in jail for integrity. For integrity. So that's different. And you will pay a price. Yeah, you'll pay a price sometime. But it's good to suffer for righteous sake. The Bible talks about Jesus said, you greater than the master? Jesus suffered. He is the truth. He is integrity. So, you know, are you greater? The Bible says, are you greater than the master? Think you're not going to suffer nothing for integrity? It's a blessing that if you're shaking because of that, it's a blessing that comes with that you know not of. Ask God to show that you're on a revelation level. That's a blessing. That's different than being punished because of you doing something wrong. So that benefit, it makes complex things clear. It was clear to Joseph what he should do. And we know in his story that, you know, he went to prison. He eventually rose up. The next benefit, number 6, is if you're guided by integrity, you don't have to worry about outsmarting people. That's another thing you have to worry about. Yeah. Don't have to worry about outsmarting people. My wife will tell you about this. I'm country simple. You know what I mean? I don't have time to try to outsmart folks. I really don't. I just try to do straight up business with folks. All right. I don't have time to try to play chess with you. I want to go to sleep. I let God stay up and deal with you. Yeah. I got to go to sleep. God will play chess with you. God will checkmate your little stuff, all right. Get you. I'm going to sleep. That's a good benefit. Because sometimes as Christian, you tempted somebody at work, somebody in your family. Y'all got people in y'all family at work and school and even some Christian folks that they're always trying to get the upper hand. Always trying to get the advantage. If they got a deal, and they always want to get the advantage, they want now, if the deal worked for them, they want you to sign a paper. I've seen people like this. I've seen it a million times. They want you to sign a paper. But the flip side, where they could get hurt, no, you can just do a handshake. Say, no, brother, no. You sign that, And they always trying to trick and do something, I don't have time for that. I know a guy that I met, he was, he had that kind of mindset, tricking and doing things to his advantage and, trying to keep me down. He told me, I was around people that had some money. He told me, I don't want you to be around this certain person, even though he is a high up person. It wasn't my intention to be around nobody to get extra money from him anyway, okay? But he said, he gave me an example. I don't want you eating or socializing with that person. The other way, he was telling me to stay in my place in a nice way. Now, he was over me too, but there was another guy that was way over there. And the other guy, he said, I want you to, the other way, he was telling me in a nice way, stay in your place. It was nice, but it was clear. I don't want you socializing with the big folks. I said, okay, it really didn't bother me. I wasn't in that to do that anyway. I was just trying to do what God wanted me to do. Yeah. He gave an example. He said, the big folks, he gave me a football example. He said, the football players don't talk with the owners. Now, that's a story. That's not the truth anyway. These days they do. Maybe back in the day they didn't, but anyway. I said, okay. But let me tell you something. So I didn't play that game. I didn't try to outsmart him. I wasn't trying to kiss up to someone or try to climb the ladder to get special favors for the guy up top and anything like that. But let me tell you something, though. But I believe because I didn't, that wasn't in my heart to do anyway. But the other guy, he had special plans for me. He had a reason why he didn't want me to do that so he could do different things. See what I'm saying? Yeah. People have a reason when they tell you to stay in your place because they got trickery. So, but don't you, God don't want you to respond back in trickery. Yeah. Don't you say, he said this, now I got to do that. Now, see, I got to do this because he did that. I got to do this. Just go to sleep. That's all. Don't worry about it. Say, God, you know what's happening, God. just go to sleep. Don't worry about it. Give it to God, really. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about other people trying to outsmart them. I'm going to tell you what happened in my case. The big guy, you end up, God gave me favor in his eyesight. All right. Yes, sir. Guy called me on Saturday, come out to eat. We had a business decision to make. He called me and Tracy out first. The other guy that was over us found out he came running out there. And he was just mad. I didn't set it up, though. God did that because I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't trying to do that. God was showing him, you can't move folks around. I move folks. Yeah. What he said in the Bible, I rise people up. I bring people down. I deal with kings. So I sure could deal with Tony and him. And he could deal with your little folks that in your life that you worried about, you trying to play with. Yeah. God rise and take down kings and world rulers. Yeah. Go to sleep. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah. The funny thing about it was this, that same man, he didn't want me to talk to. We got to be good friends. We eat and do stuff. The other man don't know about probably lose sleep over. We go to his beach house and everything. God just opened up the door. Didn't ask for it. Didn't look for it. God just opened up the doors. One day we go to his beach house and end up bumping. I'll tell you how God is very funny in particular. Because the guy told me at the beginning, he said he used football analogy, owners or football team as an analogy of me staying in my place. So we went to a beach house, and we was in a very secluded area. Guess who I meet? A football owner. Yeah, I mean, God is like has a big sense of humor. We meet Arthur Blank. I end up playing with Arthur Blank's family. Me and my boys playing with Arthur Blank. Well, Arthur Blank's in the house, though. His children and his wife, we were playing football with them on the beach. And the guy used the football on as an example. But that was God, though. You know, Travis got an autograph, stuff like that, and I saw God doing some other things. That's a whole other story, though. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. I'm not, God don't respect the person. Go to sleep on it. Don't worry about it. It's a benefit. Long as you are guided by integrity, you don't know what God will do. He'll do stuff like that. You don't have to be playing check with nobody. You don't have time for trickery. Let them lose sleep. See, those folks that want to use trickery and stuff, they lose sleep. Let them get ulcers or trying to outsmart you and put booby traps up for you and stuff like that. You're going to go to sleep. Because you got it by integrity. You got a smooth ride. You know where you're going. Let God handle those folks. So, when you're guided by integrity, it makes complex stuff simpler. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about outsmarting people. And guess what? Your name, benefit number 70 is your name will take care of itself. Your name will be good. Everybody wants a good name. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. You can turn there if you want to. It says, a good name is to be more desired than great riches. Favor is better than silver and gold. That's what God will give you. A good name. Let me turn to another proverb. Proverbs 28:1. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That wicked person, he's fleeing and running around looking over his shoulders. And take the guy, he can be bold. Proverbs 28:8. That's the wrong one. Don't worry about that one. Just skip that one. So those are the benefits. Let me tell you something. The Bible, there's a lot more proverbs to talk about, gaining names and being a person of integrity. If you get your concordance, the proverb always contrasts that. Never on being rich, but in contrast, showing you how important it is to have integrity and good character, it's better to have a good name than silver and gold. The Bible is constantly contrasting that, especially in the book of Proverbs. One time I was dealing with a lady, a person in real estate, Christian business. Oh, that's what I'm Christian business is. Anyway, now, I don't know if I have a Christian business here. I'm not talking about you. But you know what I'm trying to say, a principle I'm trying to say. Some people use that. I trust the lady in everything. So we went to a deal, before I sold my house, before I moved to the ministry, neighborhood in the ministry I was working at. Came to the meeting. This lady, it was other real estate person really sold the house, but she came there to get the check, and she was dealing with other stuff, and she really didn't treat me Christian, the Christian way that I thought that she would. I made myself very vulnerable to her because she knew the business. I trust her, and I thought that she would be guided by integrity. You know how you do something, Christian? Where they might be a professional in that area, and you say, you know what? Since you're a Christian, you just lay down, just make yourself vulnerable, in front of them. You know what? Because you thinking that they're going to be guided by integrity. You wouldn't dream doing nobody wrong, so I let myself be vulnerable. So I got to the meet, man, and I'm saying, make a long story short, I'm about looking like a crook up here. I wasn't prepared. She didn't prepare me or nothing. Then, and I got real worried about it. I might be looking like I'm the bad guy. I'm like, what's going on? But as the meeting kept going on, God cleared my name because I was just confused because she didn't prepare me the right way for the meeting. And the people at the meeting end up getting mad at her. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody left with a check with me. But I'm gonna tell you something though. I was more concerned about my name being clear. Once my name was clear, I wasn't really stumped about the check. Now they did call me later on and say I got a $13 check at the whole thing. By the time I got to that, I needed that $13 check because I was scuffling. By the time I got to catch the $13 check, it was too late. So even that was gone. But let me tell you something. I can still tell you this, though. I was glad that I left from that meeting that something that money couldn't buy. They knew from that meeting, and this was my heart desire, that this is an honest man when they left there. God made sure that they knew that. Starting off, they weren't clear, but once the stuff got clear, that's all I really wanted. I could have used the money too now, but don't get me wrong. But basically, that's all I really wanted above the money. So I walked away from there feeling good. The other lady that was the Christian business, they was getting mad at her, and they saw that she wasn't so Christian, you know, like she said she was. So it reminded me of this scripture. It's better. A good name is to be more desired than great riches and favor. It's better than silver and gold. A good name. So another benefit, if you let your lifestyle be guided by integrity, you have a good name. Even if folk put you down, your name eventually will float up to the top. Eventually, you have a good name. The last benefit, you don't have to worry. I think I did about outsmarting someone. I'm going to end with that because those people, they were always, those people in contrast, you look at this verse, the Bible contrasts it. Say the other people, you got people that live by integrity, the other people, they will be doomed. You don't have to worry about being doomed like they are. That don't mean you won't suffer sometime, but you won't be doomed because of your calamity. I told you I'm going to get back to that, and this is it. In Proverbs, in Esther, verse 7, verse 10, it says, so you had a situation where you had a man that was Haman. You know that story. He had a plot to kill the Jews. Mordecai, a good man of integrity, he found out when bow down to him. He said, I'm going to get you by killing all your people. So he started strategizing how to kill the Jews and how to get Mordecai, get Mordecai back. But you know what? I said to you this earlier. This is the point that will happen to these people. So in verse 7, verse 10 of Esther says, so they hang him on the gallows, which he had prepared for Mordecai, and the king's anger subsided. People that are not guided by integrity always hurt themselves in the end. You don't have to worry about getting hurt like that in the end. Yes, you might suffer. The right to suffer, but your suffering will be good. It builds character, but you don't have to worry about being hurt like that. Their suffering will backfire. Their stuff will backfire on them sooner or later. It always does. It's Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3 says, the foolishness of man ruins his way, and his heart rages against the Lord. See, his own foolishness ruins his way. Proverbs 19, 3. The foolishness of man ruins his way. There's other scriptures I can point out too. But his own foolishness ruins him. Just like Haman, he built the hanging thing for someone else. But it was literally used to hang himself. So don't worry about those folks. In the end, they will hang themselves unless they repent. So my challenge to you, Truth Tabernacle, I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know if you're dealing with somebody right now or what you're going through, but I can say this right here. Whatever you're going through, whoever you are dealing with, always be guided by your integrity. And you will be blessed at the end. Don't worry about the other people. Don't worry about playing chess matches and outwitting folks and stuff like that. They'll hang themselves eventually if they don't repent. But you, be guided by integrity. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, the Lord, we bless and praise your holy name. We thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your mercy, the Lord. We all go through trials and tribulations of life. We all have to make big and small decisions, complex and even simple ones. But Lord, let us always remember to be guided by integrity. Because we know when we're guided by integrity that we're doing your will and that we're in your will. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name, and we thank you for it. Amen.